Today we have the very special guest. We have Mr. Greg Itzen. He is joining us today. I don't always wear a jacket to these proceedings, but when I found out we were going to have our first president on the show, I certainly, president, ex-president, whatever the case may be, when I found out we were going to have our first president on, I said, I got to at least dress up a little bit and look.
I thought about that myself.
That's right.
I didn't do it, but I thought about it.
I did it for all of us. we are welcome to the show. We're glad that you were able to join us today.
Yes, welcome to the show. Welcome.
Thank you. Oh no, I really do. Yeah,
really, eh? Yeah, eh?
adding to what Ryan said in his introduction, I want to ask you how'd you get involved with 24? And what was your experience like playing President Charles Logan on 24? Where is Charles Logan today?
Oh, I can make up some stuff.
Absolutely.
Never truly recovered from the gunshot wound he gave himself. He has a bit of brain damage, shall we say. But he's struggling to make a living in Los Angeles.
Okay.
What was the first question?
How'd you get involved with 24, and what was your experience like playing Charles Logan?
I auditioned for 24, and I auditioned for a lesser part. And fortunately, I didn't get it, but they saw something in me, and I had a good track record doing other stuff, and they invited me in to be the president. Well, to be the vice president, should I say?
Yes.
To take the boss's place when he was shot, which I had nothing to do with. Nothing, absolutely nothing to do with.
You had nothing to do with that one. Well, let's make that clear. You had nothing to do with that.
Hey,
that's yeah. Well, you were in a documentary a couple years ago called That Guy Who Was In That Thing. I tried to find it to watch it again because I watched it right when it came out. But the reason that sentence resonated with me is because the first time you appeared on 24, I went, that's the guy from The Practice. I knew you from, I used to watch, when I was in law school, I was watching The Practice because it was really accurate and really close to kind of some of the things I was seeing really happening in the law. I recognized you from The Practice. I was like, that's that guy from that thing. And this was long before the documentary came out. But I'd seen you in several different incarnations before Charles Logan made his way to the screen. But then Charles Logan became, boy, what a role.
Yes, I agree.
What did you enjoy about being Charles? Let's talk in the present tense. What do you enjoy about being Charles Logan? Because we don't know where he is right now.
That's true, yeah.
Well, while I was doing it, I had a moment sitting at the table. We were doing a scene, and I just went, I'm president of the United States. I mean, it really hit me in this funny sort of way that I was the president of the United States. And don't fuck with me, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Not that it did any good. I ended up being fucked with a lot. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I enjoyed all the years I did it. And have very fond memories of the people and the times. And so how did I find out about it? I read for a part the season before. And didn't get it, and I was disappointed that I didn't get it. And then the next season, this came along, and it was like a gift, a blessing. And I was privy to a lot of the decisions that were made.
Okay.
You know, you wouldn't know what was going to happen until the episode before or the episode up. You get the script, you go, oh, God, this is what they're doing this time? and that was always interesting and fun. And when they made my guy, because I had, one thing at a time, Greg. I had always thought that my character would be heroic, don't you know?
Sure,
I had images, images of John Kennedy and that sort of thing. Yeah. And if you notice the first couple of episodes that I'm in, myself and Mike.
Yes, Mike Novick.
Yeah, Mike Novick would take these poses, you know, cross arms and look at each other, sort of yes. emulating those old pictures of John Kennedy and his uh-huh. brother Robert.
Yep.
And that didn't turn out the way they wanted us, but that's what I tried anyway. Tried to project that image.
You had a way of making your face would express, you know, exclamation and surprise so well. There are two that I can think of. The first being when you did that. That's Jack Bauer when he came after you in the limo.
In season 8, yes, that was a very good scene. That was actually.
We were talking about that for days.
Yeah, that was actually I think one of my favorite Charles Logan scenes too. Is yeah. When you
he was truly a chicken shit. Actually, I mean, he saw him.
The other one that kind of goes to that point is the other scene that I remembered very vividly was when you'd just been inaugurated. You had just become the president. Now you had the idea of just become, and Mike Novick comes over and whispers to you that somebody else has got the nuclear football. And then your face, if you could have done this and just pulled your collar like that, it was like that moment.
That would have added to it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If this had been on cable, you would have said something very different. I'm sure it looked like an oh shit moment. Like I just became the president. This is
put on my doorstep. Thank you very much.
Welcome to the presidency. Yeah.
Expanding on that, I have to ask. You know, from your perspective, we noticed in 24, Jack Bauer's character Jack Bauer had a great relationship with the president David Palmer in 24. But then when you came president, your relationship with Jack Bauer, Charles Logan, was...
Strained? Strained, yes. Shall we say?
So, yeah. So the question is, you know, Jack Bauer was the hero of 24. He saved a lot of lives. And so what was it about Charles Logan that he didn't like about Jack Bauer, even though Jack did save a lot of lives so what was it about it?
I would think there was jealousy. I mean, he was the, you know, the premier problem solver, and I recognized my shortcomings and tried to gloss them over and things like that, and he kept doing what I didn't want him to do, so I mean, they set it up very well. I remember they told me that I was going to be, you know, ahead of. They tell you, if you're lucky, they tell you an episode or two ahead of time what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And when I found out that I was going to be the prime mover of the bad guys, I had to go away for at least a minute to gather my resources.
Right.
I was very disappointed, shall we say, but. That's what they needed was a villain, I suppose. And I fit the bill.
And right. was that a decision from Joel Surnow or Howard Gordon or
both
Cochran?
Yeah.
All three of them.
All three of them. Okay.
Yeah.
And here's my question to allude to what you mentioned a minute ago of wanting to be Kennedy, wanting to be the hero. In Logan's mind, was he not the hero?
He was.
Yeah,
he was.
Yeah. I don't think you said villain, but I don't. I would say conflicted. I think he would say conflicted. I don't think he saw himself as the villain, per se, no. Because he was doing the best that he could.
Yeah, I say that too. I say that to my wife.
Yeah,
doing the best that I can, something like that.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm making these decisions, and I'm looking out for my people. Yeah.
All those things were alluded to, and. Fell short of the actual doing that. No.
Yeah.
Somebody liked it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Your relationship with Martha, with Jean Smart, how would you characterize that? What was there? Because when we first meet you, you're protecting her, right? You're looking out for her, but also you're concerned about her and how she's going to affect everything.
Yeah, because she's a loose cannon.
Sure.
She's a loose cannon, and she was such a joy to work with. She plays all the colors, and I don't know exactly what to say. She was just so good. Every time she turned, she had something going on.
Would you meet and plan that out beforehand, or how?
Sometimes. I told her a little bit of my backstory, what I thought, I had. Some of it eludes me at the moment, but I had a son and that sort of thing. And I'm not even sure I remember anymore. It was just when she stuck the knife into my shoulder. I don't think I was very happy about that.
That's going to tend to sour a relationship just a little bit.
Yes, 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 indeed.
She excited you and she frightened you at the same time.
That's a good way of putting it. Yes.
Yeah. Logan loved her.
I did love her.
But
yeah,
she frightened him at the same time. When the knife came
out, shocked.
He was justified. He was justified in being frightened.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely.
I thought another interesting part about Charles Logan was your story in season 8 when you were helping President Alison Taylor recover the peace treaty with the Russians. I thought that story was very exciting to watch evolve and how you turned and how your character turned Alison Taylor against Jack. And I thought that was a very good storyline, exciting to watch from an audience point of view. Did you, how did that storyline come about?
How did it come about? They wrote it. And I had to adhere to it. Really, they would write stuff, and I'd go, how am I going to, oh, God, let me see. And then I have to go away and think about how I would do that, how I would change colors or make her change colors.
It sounds like every time they presented something, you were, like, okay, I got to pivot now. What am I going to do? What else are you throwing at me? And
that's right.
The audience was as surprised as anything. I mean, There were definitely moments of shock and and dismay
And awe.
Yeah, and awe, absolutely. And of course, that led up to I watched it in real time, week to week. Waiting a whole week for the next episode, and so the inauguration happened, and then the show was done, and I had to wait an extra week. But then the showdown between you and Jack Bauer, of him, basically kidnapping you. That was another, that happened. He shows up on the helicopter, and then it goes, well, see you in 2 weeks, or see you in 6 weeks, or whatever it was. And Justin's binged it. He didn't have to watch it in real time, but I'm jealous of him, because that was a long 2 or 3 or 5 weeks sometimes.
Because I got hooked on 24 in 2009, so they were on already season 7 by that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Or going on to season 8, so... I was in grade 11.
Yeah.
And that's when I got hooked on 24.
And right now they have movies called they have the big movie called Godzilla versus Kong, but that Logan and Bauer, that was as big as Godzilla versus Kong in our
Yes.
We knew it wasn't going to end well on many levels.
I remember images from that. I remember him pulling me up the stairs or the back stairs and me stumblingly following him and on my reel is me saying, I know you can't do it. I'm the president.
Right. Yeah.
Ah, memories. Yes, indeed.
You can't do this to me. What are you thinking? Don't you know who I am?
I'm the president.
Exactly. I want to play something for you, because I don't assume that you've seen the clips and different things, but I want to play this for you and then ask you a question, if that's okay. It's just a quick video clip. So this is an interview he did, I think it was about 12 or 13 years ago, and this is talking about you.
It's just great to see somebody like Gregory Itzen, this familiar face you've seen for years, get this role that he's just sunk his teeth into.
Oh, and has had so much fun. He does this thing when he's working that is so extraordinary. He starts talking to himself in between the takes.
Really?
Oh, yeah, and out loud now. Uh-huh. I mean, we have an amazing crew, first off, and our crew has created an environment for the actors that is so comfortable, and so deeply grateful for that, because it's so hard to try stuff in front of people that you're not comfortable with or that you don't know. But yeah, he just starts talking to himself out loud. And then I'm going to hit that line like this and da-da-da-da. Yeah, you guys ready? Come on, let's go. Let, you know, and he has an energy and an excitement about what he's doing. And it kind of re-inspired me as an actor. That's what it's supposed to be about. You have to, if you're not this excited to be doing this, which is such a privilege and a gift
right.
to be able to do, then you should take a break.
Yeah.
And so he kind of became infectious for all of the actors. I know that he and Gene Smart had such a great working relationship. And when I first read in episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4, some of the dynamics of that relationship and where those characters were going, if you read it on paper and then took a look at what you did, what they did with it, without changing anything, just by intention, by working as an actor, that was such a dicey, dangerous line that they were towing, and they did it beautifully. And so, for me, one of the great things about season 5 was that they really did, I think, they were the great shift in the show this season.
Mm-hmm.
That the other storylines, the multiple storylines that the writers have done such a beautiful job in developing, I think we figured out this year that they can have the same weight. They can equally be balanced, and they certainly proved that certainly at least to me.
So yeah, I remember seeing that a couple of years ago, and I remember when I was preparing for today, of just when he talked about the energy that you brought to the set. That really stood out to me. What excites you about acting to this day?
Oh, well,
it's a wide open question. Sorry.
Yeah. No, a lot of things, and I remember, like I said, I remember a moment in the show, just when I actually thought, I'm the president of the United States. No one can say me nay.
Right.
So there's something about assuming that role that was very empowering, shall we say.
Right.
And exciting. And the fact that the people I got to face off against were strong actors and quite the characters.
Sure, yeah.
Kiefer was great. And so was Mike Novick.
Yeah.
And lots of other people on the show were fantastic, too. What excites me about acting? Well, the fact that it's going to be different every time. Someday I'll play a nice guy. Someday I'll play a killer. Some days I'll play a father. Some days I'll play, you know, an old time. I'm getting to where I play old timers now all the time. The challenge, that it's every day is a new adventure, so to speak, because you don't know what's coming, and there it is, right in front of you. Getting better. I've done a lot of theater too, and that's fun because, I mean, you don't do it on TV so much, but wigs and makeup and costumes, that's exciting. You know, I mean, if you look at my ID picture, it's a picture of me as Mercutio in Romeo and Juliet, and it's me holding a sword out like that in my face. So that's, you know, that sort of stuff is exciting too. Very.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, and you returned, thank you, you returned as Charles Logan from vice president to president for multiple seasons. And one of the things we talked to people that returned after the first season, they learned how to dress more comfortably the second time because that's what you're going to wear the entire time. How did that work out for you as far as finding something comfortable to wear? Were you comfortable?
I always wore a suit and tie. I mean,
right.
They found things like I have a great jacket with a presidential seal on it that I don't think I wore once, but I got it anyway from the show. They always dressed me in a suit and tie.
Yeah.
That was always the case. And I just made sure that they had great costumers. So I look pretty spiffy most of the time, you know?
Absolutely.
Do you have in your real life? Do you have Charles Logan moments, in your everyday life, sort of thing?
I don't know if they're Charles Logan moments, but I'm constantly amazed by the letters I get still to this day. people saying, yeah, I loved your work in 24. They also, you know, I got Star Trek credits and things like that.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by the amount of people that, first of all, find my address and then send me letters.
They do that too? Letters.
Yeah. I know where I live. It doesn't matter. I'm sending letters requesting pictures or if I'll sign their thing, blah, blah, blah. And so that's very gratifying. It keeps the world alive, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Keep, sure.
Keep me still aware of the fact that I have a career or whatever you want to call it. That's sort of fun. And it used to be I remember this one time. We were in New York and we were walking down the street and somebody yelled out the car, "Listen to your wife." So I knew they watched the
show. You knew which show they were talking about.
Yeah, I did. I knew exactly what they were talking
about. Narrowed it right down. I mean, you've been in so many things. Even in, I love Covert Affairs.
You do. Good.
Oh, yes, I love that. Absolutely. Show too. Absolutely. That was, a lot of fun to watch. And you were a lot of fun to watch in it for sure. Absolutely. Okay. The other thing I want to bring up, and I don't know if the people that are listening may not know about this, but it's on Spotify, which is where I found it. There is this audio, is it an audio book or an audio play called The Plot to Hack America?
Oh!
Yeah. That you narrate.
Yeah. That's part of the ancillary business that I do.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I think people should find it because certainly you had the fictional side of 24, and now you're giving us an actual description of what, I mean, it was fascinating to listen to you both narrate and read that part, because it's like hearing you as almost as Charles Logan, but giving us a real life account of something that could have been a 24 plot line, but it wasn't as brilliant as a 24 plot line would have been.
Thank God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I've heard people call it stupid Watergate.
What stupid Watergate?
They had the plot. The plot that you...
It was something. It was something else.
Yeah. What got you... What brought you to that project?
The reading? Book?
Yeah.
They asked me. I looked at it and I said, oh, I'll do that. I mean, you know, I'm pretty much open to anything. Pay or otherwise.
Sure.
And also I like doing voice work. I like doing voice work. So if something comes up and I audition and I happen to get it, that's fine. But this wasn't an audition. This was just an offer.
Very good. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed kind of hearing the account. And I think everybody that's listening should check it out for sure. Because as I said, you have a very distinct voice, which we understand why you love doing voice work, because you can voice so many different things and it's distinct. But we know it's you, but you can do whatever you want, which is amazing, the creativity.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. There's some way, and maybe this leads into it. There was a way that you were still presidential as Charles Logan, because as you said, you had the jacket that had the logo that you wanted to make sure everybody knew. In case you didn't know, when I walk into a room, I'm the president. Don't you know who I am?
I don't wear it very often. I must say, I don't wear it very often. I wear it to walk the dogs.
Oh, nice. Very good. You held on to it.
Yeah, so I have it. I still have it.
Very nice. Very nice. Any other interesting things from the set that you were able to take with you? Or just took?
Well, some of the suits that I wore, I have. They fit me and nobody else, so fuck them. I took them. I have suits. I have quite a collection of suits from over the years. I always seem to play a guy in suits, actually. How many mayors and... I often thought the fact was that my father was a Marine Corps major. So he spent 24 years in the Marines. And then when he moved back to his hometown, or we moved back to his hometown of Burlington, Wisconsin, he eventually became an alderman and a mayor and then a county councilman. So service is a part of my legacy, shall we say.
Sure.
So I seem to attract those jobs, which is fine with me. You know?
You do them very well. Very well.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
So could you know, if 24 were to ever come back, would you, if they asked you to play Charles Logan, would you, is that something you would be down for?
I would have to, yes, I would be down for it. I'd have to see what they do with it. I would like, love to come back as I said, I thought of this, you know, I put it aside, forgot about it, but, you know, I took the gun and I shot myself, but I believe that I chickened out there too and didn't shoot myself like this. Angled the gun so that I only took off part of my head. So I have brain damage. So I would have to come back with some sort of something going on, probably in a wheelchair or something like that. And I could do my, what you call it?
You could be FDR.
I could be FDR, but I was thinking of Strangelove, Dr. Strangelove. You'll be Dr. Strangelove. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to jump on it. There's a Harrison Ford film out there. I'm trying to remember the name of it, where he's not a nice guy. What is the... And J.J. Abrams wrote it, and I can't think of the... But he's not a nice guy, and he has an accident, and then he doesn't remember who he was before, and he becomes a really nice guy. I'm not saying Charles Logan wasn't a nice guy.
Oh, you aren't?
But I'm saying we could... I've got to remember the name of that movie. But the idea is you could come back as FDR. You really could.
And you can help free Jack from Moscow.
This, or wherever he's ended up. God.
Yeah.
Carrie and I become partners and do something nice for a change.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, you were
I loved working with Carrie Jones too. She was quite a gal.
Oh yeah, amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I mean there have been some amazing presidents on that show for sure. I mean, starting with Palmer and moving through. But yeah, your interplay I found with Dennis Haysbert as well. Because you really did that jacket with the name on it. You really played that up.
Yeah.
By the way, David, just keep in mind I'm the president now.
Dennis and I still play golf together. He's got his voiceover career, which is he's heard everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
You know, another...
I can't imagine the two of you. I mean, I can imagine. I would love to see the people around you when the two of you are playing golf. The reactions of people.
That's very true, that we amused ourselves. Actually, he would get all the kind attention. I'd be sort of like looked at askance, like, what are you doing with him? Anyway.
I like that.
And he's quite a good golfer, too.
Oh, okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Another great line from Charles Logan. It was in season 8 of 24 when Ethan Cannon and you are talking about the signing the peace treaty, and your character said every treaty that was ever signed always had blood on it. I thought that was I love that. That was a great scene, and I thought that was a great line. Just the way you deliver that line.
If I could only remember. Yes.
What other roles that you... Is there another role that you really feel attached to that you know, when people say, you know, what's your favorite line or what's your favorite role that you played outside of 24? What other character?
Covert Affairs was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We got to go to Hong Kong, don't you know?
Yes. Actually, yes, that's right.
Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And that's where did I die in that? I don't remember. I don't remember.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well,
it's time to watch it again.
The character didn't die, but the show did. So
yes, yeah.
The show sort of went, no offense to them, after I left, they didn't have a good bad guy, a good guy who is a bad guy.
Right, right. And that is certainly something so important, just to play off of. I mean, again, going back to the helicopter scene and the two of you and the Godzilla versus Kong, that was epic. And then they tricked you on top of it. I mean, boy, I don't know. I don't know what you would have been more upset. What Logan would have been more upset about, that trick or not getting a proper inauguration so that everybody could see that you were president.
I love the place that they put me to out there in the countryside. That was pretty special, yeah.
Exactly. You know, relaxing and palatial. And one of the things that we talked to Joseph Hodges the other day, and he talked about, he said his favorite set is the presidential retreat set.
Yes, yes.
He said of all the things that he did for the show, that was the one that stood out. And I asked him why, and he just said it was just, it was so set in time, and it was so, you know, what, any thoughts on having that place and being able to shoot there?
Well, the White House was, you know, the White House.
Right.
And it wasn't full either. Basically, there was a long hallway and stuff. But I didn't really settle into anything at the White House. I pretty much spent the bulk of my time at that retreat. It was very comfortable and very pretty, and there were horses there, though you didn't see them.
Beautiful.
And I liked it a lot. What can I say? It was comfortable. And
that's the one he remembers most fondly.
Oh, well, he should.
Putting that together. And he said the inspiration was the Thunderbirds, which I thought was from the 60s, 50s, 60s.
You mean the plane people?
The puppet, yeah. The...
Oh.
So that might put a little spin on it for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I had to agree with them. Well, anything else we didn't cover? Anything that you'd like to, anything coming up that you want to talk about? Or
No, I fortunately, you know, it's been a hell of a year for people.
Yeah.
Work. And it's just starting to gear back up. I did a couple of days on something.
Okay.
An independent film, which was fun. Nothing special that I'm selling or anything like that.
Right, right.
So
the indie film is something we can look for in the, you know, in the next couple months, or
it's interesting. He makes these films, and then he's sold all of them to Europe.
Mhm.
I'm not concerned it's going to get sold here or not. Requiem Boogie is the name of it.
Okay, okay. That sounds good. We'll keep it in mind. Yeah.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for, you know, bringing a president to our proceedings. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. It was a nice talk.
Typical barrister.